Welcome to the penultimate panel at DragonCon. Congratulations on surviving another DragonCon, DragonCon 2012. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being awake, or at least mostly awake. Just a little bit more to go, and then we all sleep, or we travel, and then we sleep. So today I will be speaking about Wikipedia. I am a longtime Wikipedia editor, a Wikipedia administrator. I've probably written or been a major contributor to about 500 articles on Wikipedia, most of them on the English language Wikipedia, but also on some of the other language ones. I'll have a few slides here about Wikipedia, but because we have a small enough group here, it's also just a discussion. So if anybody has a question, feel free to call it out. We have an extra microphone here, right, somewhere?
Wireless.
So or just call it out and I'll just repeat the question. So it's going to be pretty informal here. So a little bit about me. I'm an author. I write books on cryptography. I helped Dan Brown with the research for his novels, so that's why all the crypto books and crypto t-shirts up here, because people keep saying, oh, did you bring the crypto book, even though I'm not speaking on crypto. So yes, I have them here. As I mentioned, I've been on Wikipedia for several years and worked on a bunch of articles. I assume most everyone here is familiar with Wikipedia. Is there anyone here who has never used Wikipedia? Okay. So you're probably all pretty familiar with what the main page of Wikipedia looks like. There will be a featured article, there's a news section, what we call a DYK, a Did You Know section in the lower left, and an On This Day. The Did You Know section, in order for an article to be listed there, it needs to be a new article on Wikipedia. And it needs to go through kind of a vetting process. It needs to be a certain length. It needs to be sourced in a certain way. And there's actually competition. When someone creates a new article, they'll often go through, jump through hoops to see if they can get their article into what's called the DYK section. And in some ways, Wikipedia is like a multiplayer game. People get points. They feel like they get status for being in DYK. That top section, today's featured article, that's the most competition on Wikipedia. In fact, that's probably the most status that any editor can have on Wikipedia, is to have what's called an FA, a featured article, or multiple FAs. It's a very time-consuming process. It has gotten more time-consuming and more convoluted and more bureaucratic as the years have gone on. So it used to be that you could get an article to what's called FA status in maybe a week or so, and now it's more like a six-month process. Though some people can do it more quickly, but it's long, agonizing process, and it's academics say, it's sort of like going through submitting an article to a peer-reviewed journal and going through that whole peer review process. There's also a discussion page linked with every page on Wikipedia. This is the behind the scenes where things are being discussed. Disputes are usually resolved by going to the discussion pages. Also, we have the history section. On every page we'll have a history tab. And Wikipedia is very, very open. So anything that is changed on a page, there's a record of it. If you go in and you change a comma, there's a record of it. There's a record of who you are if you did it while logged in, or if you're not logged in, what your IP address is at the time that you made that edit. And an experienced editor can go down every single one of those edits and see what time it was made, what was changed, who did it, and then further they can go in and say, okay, someone named Jeff Dean made this change. Then they can go to Jeff Dean's contributions and see every single thing that Jeff Dean ever did. Vandals who come into Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is vandaled every few seconds. There's vandals coming in and vandalizing things constantly. It's like a big game of whack-a-mole for some people. They just want to go in and see who's vandalized Wikipedia in the last few seconds, and they go in and they revert the vandalism. But vandals are often unaware of just how much their edits stand out. It's not like you can sneak into the stacks of a library and think there's a dusty hallway that no one ever goes to and you can make a change and no one will ever notice. It gets noticed pretty fast. And then each change, there's a diff that you can see. So on the left we have the older version of the text, and on the right the newer version of the text. So we can see exactly what was modified for every single edit. Wikipedia was founded in 2001. It's one of the 10 most visited sites in the world. I think on any day, we're saying 8% of the internet visits Wikipedia. And there's currently versions in over 284 languages, and that number keeps going up. They keep finding other languages that don't have a Wikipedia. As of 22 million articles in all the different language Wikipedias, the English Wikipedia just passed the 4 million article mark. And articles created per day, this is something I really try to get people to wrap their heads around. There's about 1,500 new articles created each day on the English Wikipedia. Each day, there's about 750 articles deleted each day on the English Wikipedia. So there's a constant churn of articles that are coming in that are bad articles. So has anyone here ever tried creating an article on Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did it stick, or did it get deleted immediately, or?
One stuck and one was deleted.
Yeah, so 50-50.
And one on me that I couldn't really do was there for 9 months and then went.
It what?
It was deleted after 9 months.
Oh, after 9 months and deleted. So if you want, we could go through and I could go through and kind of explain why it was deleted or something. Well, later on.
Yeah,
later on. The many articles that come into Wikipedia are junk articles, and I'm not saying your articles were junk, but people are constantly coming in and trying to use Wikipedia for advertising. Someone will come in and create an article about their used car lot, and then they'll go into every car article on Wikipedia and say, the best cars are available over at Joe's used car lot. Or someone will make a sketch, and they say, okay, I'm an artist, I've made a sketch, and then they'll try to make a page about themselves as an artist. And often they'll get very offended if that page then gets deleted. And because this happens so many times, there's elaborate procedures on Wikipedia to decide what is called notability. Is something notable enough to be on Wikipedia? Is it something that could be called encyclopedic? And there's no one single definition for this, and there's constant battles going on between camps of what's called inclusionist editors and those who are saying, no, you know, keep it just as an encyclopedia and delete everything if it's not a solid encyclopedic article. The inclusionists will use the argument that Wikipedia is not paper, and there's no limit, really, on the number of articles that we could have. And then the exclusionists will say something like, right, but we really don't need an article on every single Pokemon character. And the inclusionists will say, well, why not? And so it's this constant debate that's going back and forth. So, but even getting away from the gray area articles, the obvious spam articles, there's so many hundreds that are deleted every day, that often the administrators that are going through and deleting these articles will get into a kind of a glassy-eyed, almost like that Charlie Chaplin in what was it, Modern Times, where he was working on a conveyor belt and just everything started looking like bolts that he needed to tighten. And on Wikipedia, it'll be like that. They'll just be going delete, 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 delete. And often they'll delete something that shouldn't have been deletable, but just simply because they're just being overwhelmed with the spam that's coming in. So one of the things that I'm going to be trying to do as part of this talk, and I'm happy to answer any questions that people may have, is if you create an article or if you make a change to an article, what kinds of things you can do to keep it, to make it stick, so that you don't get into that funnel of articles that are just being deleted constantly. And there's certain things about an article that will send up a red flag and will make it more likely to be deleted. The most common thing is lack of sources. And the next thing is the kinds of sources that are being used. The next is the kind of language that's being used in the article. So, sources. To be most valid, a source on Wikipedia needs to be something that's called a reliable source, which it needs to be a third-party source. It needs to be a source that has a reputation for fact-checking and accuracy. So, New York Times, good source. Joe Blow's blog, not a good source. And often people will create articles and say, okay, well, I have sources, and this blog talks about me and that blog talks about me. But as soon as blogs start showing up in the source list, that's one of the flags that's going to go up and make an article more likely to be deleted. But let me just go on with some more general stuff. So this is kind of a comparison of Wikipedia with some of the other large websites on the web, such as Google and Facebook, Microsoft and Yahoo, and showing Wikipedia has this amazing reach, but it's being done by volunteers. So Google, with 920 million users, and these are numbers from 2011, and revenue of $23 billion and 24,000 employees, compare that to Wikipedia, which has 411 million users, so half of what Google has, but the revenue, instead of 23 billion, Wikipedia is doing it all on 20 million. tiny, tiny fraction of what the larger sources do. Employees, Google has 24,000 employees. Compare that to Wikipedia's 73 full-time employees. So the vast majority of what's going on Wikipedia is just being done by the volunteers. As a size comparison, if you were to print out every article on the English Wikipedia and put it into something like a volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica, this is the total size of Wikipedia what it would be like. And some people think Wikipedia, it's big. It's bigger than the largest library. It's bigger than the Library of Congress. No, Wikipedia is about equivalent to one aisle of books in a major library somewhere. But it has information that people are looking for. If people are looking for information, it's not on Wikipedia, they're going to add it to Wikipedia. And an analogy is, again, going back to Pokemon, really popular, other games, TV series, you'll probably find really good coverage of those on Wikipedia. Medieval Turkish monarchs, not so much, because people aren't as likely to go looking for information about those topics. But the number of articles continues to grow up. As I said, we just passed 4 million on the English Wikipedia. You can get specific statistics on every single article on Wikipedia by going to a URL called stats.grok.se. I have it at the bottom right of this slide. And you can type in the name of an article and it'll show you how many visits it gets each day. Certain topics, for example, Jerusalem, getting a lot of hits. This one shows about 5,000 visitors per day. Again, pick a medieval Turkish monarch and you might get 2 visitors per day. Unless that particular monarch is cited by maybe a politician somewhere, mentions him, and then you'll see a big spike as people go researching. So what are readers looking for? This is kind of interesting because it compares it from different languages. So we have English on the far left, and then I think we have Chinese, Japanese, French, German, Russian, Spanish, and HI. I don't remember what HI is. And you can see that in English Wikipedia, the most common searches are going to be for that light green bar at the bottom, which is pop culture. In the Japanese one, that's the third column there, again, huge for pop culture. The yellow bars, you can see health. You know, the English Wikipedia, they tend not to go to Wikipedia as a source for information about health. The Japanese are more likely to do so. The sex topic is kind of interesting. That's the kind of the pink one over there. So you can see English Wikipedia, if they're looking for information on sexual topics, okay. The Chinese, yeah, they're more often going to Wikipedia for information about sex. Japanese, a little bit. French, not at all. They don't get their information on sex from Wikipedia. But they're more likely to go for information about geography. And then it's kind of balanced with things about culture and the fine arts. So when there's the status and the structure of Wikipedia, so you have the readers who come in, you have the editors who are creating the articles, modifying the articles, there's administrators, and then there's something called the arbitration committee. And when there's a dispute, like how should this article be written? Say there is an article, say about a town between Hungary and Slovakia. And we've got some people who say the article should be titled by the Hungarian name because it's in Hungary, and others say it should be titled by the Slovakian name because it used to be in Slovakia even though it's in Hungary now. And you get these disputes where things are just going back and forth, and you'll have something called edit wars where someone will go in and they'll change the article to say something, and someone else will come in and they'll change it back, and then they change it the other way, change it back. And this thing can go on for days, weeks, months, sometimes even years. There are rules on Wikipedia about the number of times that you can do a revert on a particular day. So if you revert one article more than 3 times in one day, you're going to get your account access blocked for at least 24 hours. And they're going to say, cool off. There's no deadline here. This is not life and death. We don't want edit wars here. Figure out another way of dealing with the dispute. Ideally, disputes are resolved by civil and polite discussion between editors on a discussion page, if you have sane, reasonable editors who are open to compromise, which often happens, but not always. So if that doesn't work, then you can go through a mediation process, and then it goes up to something called the arbitration committee. This is a group of Wikipedia editors that were elected by the other Wikipedia editors, and they deal with issues of disputes. Now, they will not make a decision on what the articles should say. And this is something that a lot of people have trouble with. They think if there's a dispute, should the article say red or should it say blue, that someone, an academic or someone in charge, is going to come in and make a decision. The article should should say read. That never, ever, ever happens, because that would be called making a ruling on article content, and that's against the Wikipedia culture. The only thing that the dispute resolution system will do is that they will deal with issues of user conduct, not article content. So if editors are arguing red, blue, and they can't come up with a compromise, for example, a compromise would be some sources say it's red and some sources say it's blue, and then they put that in the article, and then the reader can make up their mind and see, aha, the sources differ. But if there's some editors who are saying red, oh my God, it's red, it always has to be red, and everyone else is an idiot, they're obviously not there and willing to work in a collaborative manner. And so the arbitration committee is empowered to take those editors and say, you are no longer allowed to edit that article. In some cases, they're allowed to say, you're no longer allowed to edit in that topic area. And in some cases, they say, you are no longer allowed to edit Wikipedia ever. Go away. It takes a long time to go through the process of getting someone completely blocked or banned from Wikipedia, but that's one of the things that the arbitration committee will do. This is just an example of some of the arbitration cases. Generally, there will be a case that comes up maybe once or twice a week or so, sometimes more often, sometimes less often. Before the arbitrators will take a case, they have to see that someone has already tried to go through other steps of dispute resolution. So if there's just some bickering going on, the ARBCOM is not going to get involved. But if the bickering has gone and they've tried a request for comment, they've tried to get other editors involved, they've tried mediation, and all these steps have failed, that's when ARBCOM is going to step in. And then they're going to make rulings such as, certain editors are not allowed to edit in this topic area, or this topic area is identified as a hot topic area on Wikipedia, so we are empowering administrators, volunteer administrators, to go in and set rules as needed. So I, as an administrator, could then be empowered to go in and say, okay, Hungary, Slovakia, this is a hot topic. I'm going to say that no one is allowed to revert this particular section of the article more than once a day. Or I could go in and say, I'm protecting this article so that no one's allowed to edit it for a day or a week or a month. There's many different ways that it could be dealt with. Another way, if you wanted to learn more about the Wikipedia culture, there's a newsletter that's called the Wikipedia Signpost. This comes out once a week, and it just kind of gives a general view of this is what's going on in ARBCOM. There's certain things that the community is voting on, like how to deal with a particular policy, or maybe there was a dispute, or maybe Wikipedia was in the news somewhere, and it's just almost like a podcast, but it's not a podcast. It's an actual newsletter there. And administrators, as of this month, there are 1,468 administrators on the English Wikipedia. These are all volunteers. These are people who put themselves forward and said, I want to be administrator, and then the community had a discussion and said whether or not this person should be the admin, which means getting the bit. Basically, you have an account on Wikipedia, and there's an admin bit that can be toggled on or off. And if someone has the bit, then they can do certain things. They can block users or unblock them. They can protect and unprotect pages. They can see some of the deleted histories of pages. And then also sometimes, depending if they're in an ARBCOM authorized area, they can set certain restrictions on articles. The perception by the public is often that administrators are senior academics or people who are trained on how to deal with disputes and trained on how to deal with the articles or encyclopedias, and that is not true. Often the administrators are teenagers or college students or just people with lots of free time. So when dealing with an administrator, there's no guarantee that you're going to have any consistency whatsoever in who you're dealing with. One administrator might say, okay, this is how things should happen on the article, and another administrator might say something completely different. They're all volunteers. So it's something to be aware of when talking to an admin that could be six of one, half a dozen the other. It really depends who you're talking to. Are they having a good day? Are they having a bad day? They haven't had any training on how to do this. They may or may not be aware of the fact that they have not had any training on how to do this. Okay. Right. So Wikipedia, it's like a hive mind. It really is. And there's different parts that it's horribly inconsistent. There's different things going on at different places. But that's one of the things I'm trying to communicate to everyone is if you're dealing with things in the mathematics topic area, you may see things that work a certain way, and then you go over into the medieval history topic area, it's completely different because it's different people that are dealing with that area. There will be people who will kind of camp on an article, and they'll say, I'm going to make sure that this article stays free of vandalism, and that's all they're doing is just maintaining that article. That's like their hobby article. And they'll be maintaining it in a different way than some article in a different part of Wikipedia. 4 million articles, so a lot of different things going on at any one time. But there are areas with frequent edit wars, and those will be getting more attention, sort of the problem children area of Wikipedia. Eastern Europe is a constant problem area, be it the Balkans, anything to do with, because the borders were changing all the time. And so I bring up Hungary and Slovakia as an example. Ireland is also, anything to do with Northern Ireland, Ireland is going to be getting a lot of problems. Palestine, Israel. And often what will happen is if there's a dispute in one of these areas, that say, again, Hungary, Slovakia as an example, there is a Hungarian Wikipedia, and there is a Slovakian Wikipedia, and they can write things any way they want. The Hungarians want to write their articles about different things one way, that's fine. Slovakians want to write another way, that's fine too. But that's not enough for many of them. They see the English Wikipedia as like the central Wikipedia of the world. So they want the English Wikipedia to reflect their version of how things are going. So they will come into the English article and write it, say, from a Hungarian point of view, at which point the Slovakians are coming saying, wait, that's a Hungarian POV, and they'll try and change it back. Then we get into an edit war between maybe a couple of editors, and then the Hungarians might be losing the battle. So they'll go back to the Hungarian Wikipedia and say, there's a battle on the English Wikipedia. I need more reinforcements. And Hungarian editors will come over to the English Wikipedia to engage in the battle. Then the Slovakian editors will go back, and they'll get more reinforcements. And you just get these amazing battles. And as an administrator, I can often see what's going on because I look at someone's contributions and I can see, okay, this person has been editing the English Wikipedia for 2 years. They've got 5,000 edits. They've worked on all these articles. And here's someone with a Hungarian-sounding name who's got no edits at all in the English Wikipedia, but suddenly they're getting involved in an edit war in this one particular article. And so that's why, as ARBCOM has authorized administrators, and we can come up with some creative solutions, that if there's a new editor, someone who just appears in the middle of a dispute, we may block them from the dispute, saying, okay, you're no longer allowed to participate because we don't think you're operating in good faith. We think that you're here pushing an agenda-driven editor, or what's called a SPA, which is single-purpose account, someone who's coming onto Wikipedia only to do a very specific thing. And it's not just with issues of nationalism, it could be pseudoscience, anything to do with ghosts or the supernatural or auditory hallucinations is a big hot topic. Homeopathy is a big controversial area. Cold fusion gets a lot of attention on Wikipedia. And now, of course, we have an election coming in, and so we have the candidates. And I was just reading that the articles of the two vice presidential candidates have been locked because as soon as they were announced, all these people were rushing in and trying to change the articles. We've had issues in the past where we did find congressional staffers who were going into Wikipedia and were trying not just to improve the article of their candidate, but we're going into the articles about the opposing candidates and trying to put in negative information about them. And then we tried blocking some of the staffers, and then what we did is we just said, okay, everyone from this IP range is blocked, is not allowed to edit Wikipedia, but then we found we'd accidentally blocked all of Congress from editing Wikipedia. And so we had to kind of rearrange things there. Conspiracy theories also, the 9/11 conspiracy theories, those articles get a lot of attention. Flat Earth Society, if you go to the article about the Earth on Wikipedia and you read the article, I can see it's a result of many battles going on that they've removed certain things. Nowhere in the article on the Earth are you going to see something that says that the Earth is round. There may be something, a link to saying, here's more information about the shape of the Earth, and that's where all the controversy is covered. But on that actual article, it's just going to be covering the neutral items, the items that are non-controversial. Okay. Islamic traditions is another, this is something that I know quite a bit about with Muhammad, and how should Muhammad be represented on Wikipedia? Because there have been many polls from Muslims who say they do not want images of Muhammad published anywhere. And there have been massive debates on Wikipedia about how to handle that. On the one hand, we want to present information that's educational. On the other, we want to be respectful of certain things, and we don't want someone to be shocked when they go to a certain page. Like if somebody is researching, a sexual topic or something, and if you go to a sexual topic, what picture is going to be at the top there. Is it going to be something tasteful or a drawing, or are you going to be seeing the goat sex image? And okay, so we try to follow something called the POLA, which is the principle of least astonishment. And there's debate about when someone goes to a page, what are they expecting to see at that page? But then there was a lot of debate about Muhammad, because some people said, okay, the article about Muhammad should have an image of Muhammad. But in the tradition of Muhammad and Islam, there are no common images of Muhammad. So this was really debated. I don't know if anyone here is Muslim, but I did want to say I'm going to show some images of Muhammad on the next slide. So just, again, going with that principle of least astonishment. They're not negative images, but often when Muhammad is represented in Islamic art, they don't put him because they feel it's disrespectful to show the person because that's detracting from his message. So when they show Muhammad, they'll show him wearing a veil, or they'll show him as a flame in some way. Here's another image, kind of veiled and as a flame near the Kaaba. Now this image showing Muhammad it's a small image from one book that was created several hundred years after Muhammad's life in an area that had recently converted to Islam. So some Wikipedia editors said, aha, now we have an image of Muhammad. They wanted to make that image really, really prominent on the article. But other editors came in and said, well, wait a minute, just because it's an image of Muhammad doesn't mean it's a prominent image of Muhammad. So these are the kinds of things that are being debated. And the massive debate got the entire community involved. And finally, what we agreed on, what the consensus was that the article of Muhammad would have an image of his name in calligraphy at the top of the article, which is the most common way that he's represented in Islam. But then a few other images representing the history of his life were presented below the fold, further down in the article, with links to more articles that would go into the images in much more detail. So if someone was seeking out the images, they're there, but they're not going to be forced on someone. Right. Another example of a dispute that had a creative solution was the Gdansk-Danzig debate. This is one city that at one point was called Gdansk and then Danzig, and then it was Gdansk again, and then it was Danzig again, and it kept flipping back and forth. And so anytime, it wasn't just the article about the city, it was how do we refer to the people that were born in that city? And what if they were born when it was called Danzig, and then later on in their life, they said they were born in Gdansk instead of Danzig. And so there were editors, especially the Polish and the German editors, who would battle about how to spell the name of the city. And it was massive disputes. Took 2 years and just raged across hundreds of articles on Wikipedia, any place that mentioned the city. And finally, they came up with a solution, which was a template that was going to be shown on every single article that had anything to do with Gdansk or Danzig that would say, you know, if you're referring, what's the time period of the article that's referring to this. So if the article is referring to this city between 1308 and 1945, use Gdansk. If it's before 1308 or after 1945, use Danzig. For biographies, did the person identify as German? If they identified as German, use this name. If they identified as Polish, use this name. And so they just spelled it out bullet point by bullet point about how to deal with it. And finally, we had peace on the project. But that's the thing. No one decided how it was going to be handled. The editors who were interested had to be the ones to come up with the rules. And all we as administrators could do is try to put little traffic cones around them and encourage them to come up with some sort of a solution. Okay. Now, anyone who's really interested in disputes on Wikipedia, there's a site called WikiRage, wikirage.com, which will list the current articles that are in the middle of an edit war on Wikipedia. And some of these will be articles that are in the middle of a dispute. Others might just have a lot of attention. So if an article is on the front page of Wikipedia, chances are a lot of people are going to be looking at it, and it's going to be getting a lot of edits, and so that might be one of the reasons it shows up here. So administrators, I've written classes, it's called a new admin school on Wikipedia about how to deal with a dispute. So say an administrator gets to an article and editors are in the middle of an edit war, nobody's listening to anybody, massive dispute, what to do. And often there will be discussion pages, but these discussion, there'll be 10, 20, 30 discussion pages going on, megabytes of dispute. And I tell the administrator, you don't need to read all that in order to get involved with the dispute. Number one thing you need to check is, are reliable sources being used? Is an editor saying, this is true because I know it's true and you guys are all stupid, or is the editor saying, well, the article should say this because New York Times said that and because the Yale Historical Review said this. So someone who's arguing from sources has a lot more credibility on Wikipedia. No matter how adamant someone says, well, this is true, say, well, if you think it's true, where are you getting information? What are your sources? Wikipedia runs on reliable sources. The next thing, and some people would say it's the first thing, is the article about a living person? And we have a policy called BLP, Biographies of Living People. And Wikipedia is trying very hard to do no harm when it comes to living people. If someone has had some sort of a controversy in their past life, we cannot mention on Wikipedia unless it's really well sourced. And if it's sort of iffy sources or tabloid sources or there's dispute about it, we're going to be more likely to just delete the information entirely rather than have that dispute on Wikipedia, because it has a real-time impact on people's lives. The next thing administrators should do is when they're looking at a discussion, if there's editors who are disagreeing, are they discussing things in a civil manner? In academic circles, sometimes, and I don't know if there's any academics here, but you'll know that sometimes discussions can get very heated and they'll start getting into what's called ad hominem attacks. You know, oh, you're wrong and you're an idiot and you're always wrong about this, you never check your sources. Those kinds of personal attacks are not allowed on Wikipedia. The enforcement is kind of dicey. Some administrators are more likely to enforce the no personal attacks policy. Some are more likely to let it go. But we try to encourage everyone to discuss things in a civil manner. Also, if there's an edit war going on the article, we tell people they need to be discussing those edits on the discussion page. If they're just reverting each other, as an administrator, I'm more likely to block them from the article. I'll tell them, you can't just revert. You have to explain why you're reverting. And if they keep reverting, I'm going to block them from the article. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to look at their contribution list. Are these established editors? Do they work on many articles, or are they spas? Are they just working on one article? If they're only working on one article, I'm not going to give them as much leeway as I might to an established editor who's obviously working on many different articles. Just other advice I have. Is anyone here an administrator, a wiki administrator? So, I mean, feel free to jump in if you disagree with anything I'm saying. Okay. Do you work with disputes, or are you a vandal fighter? What kinds of things do you do as an admin?
I don't do anything at all right now.
Until this year, I was a member of ARBCOM.
Oh.
But I don't really edit it.
Okay.
I have like 5 edits this year.
Okay. May I ask what your wiki name is?
Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, okay. Nice to meet you. I know we've interacted from time to time, but I don't think we've ever actually met first face to face. So you can confirm that becoming an arbitrator is a long, time-consuming political process.
That's true. I should have been spending more time at law school.
Okay. All right. So advice that I would give to administrators is identify editors who may be blocking consensus. Are they arguing from sources? Are they using good sources? Do they seem to be editors who are capable of working towards compromise? And if they don't seem to be capable of working towards compromise, then they're the kind of editors that may be removed from the discussion. I could go into tag teams, but that's like a whole other discussion. And then administrator, they'll post a notice on the talk page of an article. They'll say that an article is perhaps under some sort of ARBCOM restrictions. And then administrators could possibly just protect the article. A full protection would mean no one is allowed to edit the article. They can only post comments on the discussion page. A semi-protection means that established editors can edit the article, but newer editors cannot edit the article. They are limited to comments on the discussion page. And there's some wiggle room there, but that's kind of it in a rule. So anyone who wants to edit Wikipedia, especially if you're going to be editing in controversial areas. If you're not editing in a controversial area, Wikipedia is a great place. If you're working on articles about medieval, you know, Turkish monarchs, you're going to have a great time. You're going to create an article. No one's ever going to disagree with you, and then you can kind of write whatever you want to write. Occasionally, you'll run into someone, and maybe you'll have a discussion. You'll work it out and say, oh, you're right, that was more on the Egyptian side than on the Lebanese side or whatnot. But if you're in a controversial area, you're going to want to have some things that kind of give you a foundation and will increase your credibility within the Wikipedia community. The number one thing I would say is create a user page. Say a little bit about yourself, about what topic areas that you're interested in. If you have any kind of wiki philosophy, put it there. But if nothing else, creating a user page changes the color of your name. If you don't have a user page, your name shows up as a red link. It's on the web. Something that doesn't have a page there, it can be a red link. However, if you have a wiki page, then your name is a blue link. And just that little color change can give you a little more credibility. Building trust within the community, you'll have more trust if you participate in multiple topics. If you're only participating in one topic, it increases the likelihood that you're that SPA, that single-purpose account, which isn't necessarily a bad thing to be a SPA. But if there's a conflict that comes up, being a SPA can cause some problems. And also help out in other areas of the project. There's tons of cleanup categories, articles that need help. The sources need to be better formatted, or someone came in and they just copy-pasted information from some web page onto Wikipedia, which may be some huge copyright violation. Vandal patrol. There's constantly people needed to go in and just kind of check, have any articles been vandalized recently? We'll go in and fix those articles. Learn to build credibility, learn the way that people discuss things on discussion pages, like the way that people sign their names. There's something you put four tildes and it'll put your name and a date stamp of when you said something. The way you indent things. These are things that other experienced editors will look at the way you communicate. But then again, with all the stuff that I've talked about learning the wiki way and controversial topics and SPAs, there's a core Wikipedia policy, which is be bold. If you're not certain on how to do something, just go ahead and do it anyway. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? Someone's going to delete your edit. So, you know, if you're not sure, just be bold, go out there, you know, make a change, add an article. If it gets deleted, it's not the end of the world. Maybe you just need to kind of rework the article. Go into whoever deleted your edit and ask them, why did you delete my edit? And see if they have a coherent answer. Most likely they will. Sometimes they won't. But then there's other ways to kind of deal with it from there. If you want your articles to stick, your edits to stick, cite your sources. Use reliable sources. Use sources that are trusted sources, sources that are cited themselves by other sources. Those are the kinds of things that we look for on Wikipedia. Reference formatting can be a nightmare on Wikipedia. There's these long templates for how to cite. Is it a news article? Is it a web page article? The access date? Don't worry about that. If nothing else, just put the URL of what you're citing. Or if you're citing a book, just put it, I forget if it's called Harvard formatting or what, but just put the name of the book and put in parentheses next to whatever you added. And someone else will come along and eventually they'll recite the reference and life will go on. Try to meet other Wikipedians. Get a sense for yourself of who seems to have trust within the community, who has respect within the community. There's also, I didn't put on this slide, but there's a tool that you can get which is called pop-ups, which is really helpful when you can go on a page and you can just hover your mouse over something and it'll give you a little pop-up of, say, an editor. How many edits do they have on Wikipedia? Do they have any special access flags on them? And it can give you sort of a snapshot of how respected or how well-established that particular editor is on Wikipedia. If you see a mistake on Wikipedia, again, be bold. Just go in, fix it. What's the worst that can happen? Wikipedia, everything can be changed immediately. So, yeah, it doesn't hurt to go in and just try it. If you do see a mistake and maybe you fix it and you come back later and someone else has reverted it and you think, no, it's still a mistake. I still want to fix it. Well, fix it again, but this time add a source to it and show where you got the information, why you believe that it was a mistake. If you see information that is unsourced, official Wikipedia policy is anything that is unsourced can be removed. The burden of proof for anything on Wikipedia is on whoever wishes to add the information. They have to be adding it from sources. If they don't have sources, anything can be removed. And someone can't say, well, of course there's sources, put it back. No, it's their responsibility to put those sources with it if they want to put the information back into the article. If it's about a living person, all the bars rise. If there's bad information about a living person, just delete it. Don't even worry about sources or anything like that. It helps if you put in a comment saying, I'm deleting this because it's a living person. Or if you do something you think might be controversial, put a comment on the talk page. I deleted this, I changed this because, and give your reasoning. You know, it's helpful to other editors. Does anyone here have an article about themselves on Wikipedia?
Did?
Yeah. Oh, was that the one you created?
No.
Okay. Well, that's going to be a longer discussion. But we can talk about how, you know, if there's something bad in there, how to fix it, and all those, and the sources, the required for some sort of biography of a living person. And if it's missing information about you, can add it to the talk page, which is the official policy, though it doesn't always work. I have an article about myself on Wikipedia, and there was a bunch of missing information, and I went through this of adding information to the talk page and adding sources and saying, here's 10 sources, you know, here's more sources, and no one was modifying the article. They had other things they were doing. This went on for about 2 years, and then finally I went and I said, look, I'm just going to change the article. And what I did is I took the information that was in my article, and I made a draft of the article in my own user space, so it was outside of the main Wikipedia project, and I rewrote the article there until it was all correct, and then I went back to the Wikipedia community and say, okay, here's the updated version of the article, will someone please copy this into the live main space? And someone did, and life goes on. If you ever get involved with a dispute, stay calm, that's the number one thing. Cite your sources, don't work from personal knowledge, and take the long view. You know, Wikipedia doesn't have a deadline. It's not like it all has to be done by December 31st, 2012, or December 21st when the Mayan doomsday prophecy comes in. You know? Yeah, Wikipedia is going to be around for a long time, and if there's a dispute, you know, back and forth today, well, 6 months from now, who's going to care? And just take the long view and cite your sources, and eventually things will work themselves out. And work on other things. There's over 4 million articles on the English Wikipedia. You know, one article is one article out of 4 million articles. There's lots of other things to be doing on the project. And when you're working on an area that's not in dispute, it can be very calming. It's kind of nice because you're not having to battle over every single sentence. If there is a dispute, try to get opinions from other editors that are not involved in the dispute. You can do things where you can get a third opinion. You can do an RFC, a request for comment. And we're trying to find the consensus, which I call the pizza principles. It's like you have a group of people in a room. We're going to get a pizza. What kind of pizza are we going to get? Well, somebody's pepperoni. No. We want sausage. No. We want mushroom. What do you end up getting? Well, you end up getting like a couple pizzas, and it's going to be half pepperoni and half mushroom. And so everybody kind of gets something they want, and it's not one person dominating all of the ingredients. And that kind of consensus system on a pizza is really kind of describing what Wikipedia has got. All disputes should be resolved by consensus. And ultimately, the goal is not to decide a dispute on any particular topic, but to describe a dispute. We want to present all the different views, the major views on any particular topic, so that a reader can see these different views and then make up their own mind based on having the information. So going back to the flat Earth, there is an article on Wikipedia about the shape of the Earth. And we don't want to say, well, obviously the Earth is round, duh. But we do want to say, okay, the Earth is according to these sources, the Earth is shaped in this way. Now, there are some people who argue, some sources who say the Earth is flat. And we present their point of view. We may not say that it has mainstream scientific consensus behind it, but we will present their point of view so that the reader can find out what are these flat Earth people about. Okay. So, summary. Wikipedia, big project, has many disputes on it. The disputes are resolved by sources and by consensus, not by some sort of authority coming in and saying how the article should be written. Anything going on in real life, real world controversies, politics, lots of things involved with pseudoscience, Eastern Europe, anything going on in a real-world dispute can definitely enhance the attention that's going to particular articles on Wikipedia. People see Wikipedia as something that's going to bolster their point of view, whatever it may be, right or wrong. And there's a lot of politics behind the scenes at Wikipedia, sort of like laws and sausages. So laws, sausages, and Wikipedia articles. And the community itself can be very inconsistent. It's overall pretty anti-authority. And it's going to be different from each different section of the project. But it's just something to be aware of. And once you're kind of aware of the general principles of Wikipedia, then it can be a much more pleasant experience for you and for whatever you're trying to accomplish on the project. If you want to participate, create an identity, edit in multiple topic areas. And if something if someone challenges you, stay calm, maybe engage in discussion, maybe go off and do something else for a while. Ultimately, try to find a compromise, a way to incorporate everyone's point of view. The ultimate goal is neutrality. That's a policy on Wikipedia. It's one of the pillars of Wikipedia, a neutral point of view. If you have questions, you can write to me, Ilonka@gmail.com. I also have a user page, which is at that URL, user:Ilonka. Any questions? Yes.
Hello, there we go. Mm-hmm. One area you didn't cover was what if somebody writes something, it's not incorrect per se, mm-hmm. but it's poorly worded.
Mm-hmm.
How do editors go about, is that cool?
Be bold, fix it.
Just fix it now, okay.
Fix it. Yeah,
well, that was
yeah.
kind of my
thinking. It happens all the time. And I go in and I look at articles and I think, oh my God, this person never heard of punctuation. fix it. Yeah,
okay.
Create an account, fix it. And everything you do counts as an edit, and every edit you have gives you more status within the community. So
okay,
it's
cool.
A good thing.
I did have one other question.
Sure.
Wikipedia seems to function unusually well for the profound lack of authority it has. Just like you showed, you know, you have Google, high levels of authority,
mm-hmm.
But incredibly expensive and lots of manpower, mm-hmm. and, you know, right, Wikipedia, we're doing better than you in terms of, you know,
yeah.
cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Is there some way to take the principles of Wikipedia, because
mm-hmm.
it is so successful, and apply it in a larger social world? How do we come to a less authoritarian world?
Ooh.
Using? I just figured you would probably have some interesting ideas on that.
Well, it's a big question, and there is what's called the Wikipedia movement or the Wikimedia movement, and. It's not just about providing information on the English Wikipedia, but Wikipedia as a force for change in the world. And Wikipedia is run by the Wikimedia Foundation. And the foundation is very aggressively seeking to have a Wikipedia presence in as many countries around the world as they can, as many languages as they can. They want to make the sum of all human knowledge available to everyone. And I believe that Wikipedia, even with all the disputes that happen in writing the articles on Wikipedia, can help to resolve some disputes in the real world. I know often when I'm running into some quack theory or something, Wikipedia is the first place I'm going to turn to. Because the more controversial a topic it is in the real world, the more editors it's going to have on Wikipedia, and the more editors a particular article has, usually the more neutral that article is going to be because of the disputes that have been involved in getting that article to a proper state. The actual community of Wikipedia, though, I think is fairly small. There are millions of people who may have made one or two edits, but the core community of Wikipedia, English Wikipedia, is maybe 7,000 editors or so, of whom about maybe 1,500 are administrators. But it's not for everybody. Many humans like authority. They like someone telling them exactly what to do and where to go, and other people don't. And Wikipedia is just one of the ingredients or one of the threads in this grand tapestry of life. That's the only answer I got.
Okay, you've talked about Wikipedia, but what about the associated projects like Wikinews and mm-hmm. Wikicommons?
Mm-hmm.
What's
yeah.
your feeling about
those? Okay, so Wikimedia Foundation runs several different projects. Wikipedia is only one of them. There's Wikinews, there's Wikisource, there's Wikibooks, Wikiversity, Wikiquotes, Wiktionary, some different people gravitate to whichever project that they most enjoy. I've done most of my own work on Wikipedia, so that's what I was talking about. I've done some work on Wikisource, which is great for getting public access, public domain articles out there. Entire books or encyclopedias that are no longer under copyright are there. I'm also, because I live in St. Louis, which is right near the Vatican Microfilm Library, it's the full Vatican Library at a certain point in time in microfilm. It's the only thing like that in the world. So I have access to all these illuminated manuscripts and other transcripts. And so sometimes if I'm bored, I'll go down to the Vatican Film Library and I'll get a copy of a papal document from the 1300s in Latin. And then I reach out to some of my friends who know Latin, and they'll translate it into English. And then I'll put this on Wikisource, so we have the Latin source of the papal letter. And then you can click on English, and you can see the English version of the letter, and so you can see them side by side. And it's just a bizarre hobby that I enjoy. there's just so much to do. So I'm not saying Wikipedia is the only project that you can help out with. Just find what you enjoy, and I'm sure there's going to be something somewhere that you can help out with the movement there. Is that... answer your question? Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Yeah.
Okay. You never know where a talk like this will go and what effect it has. We had an incident where I get this call, an email from an administrator at the university saying, hey, there's this article I'm camped on about the president of the university, and they took it on as their pet article on Wikipedia, and somebody at this IP address keeps vandalizing it. Please make them stop. And having been to your presentation, I'm thinking, well, this isn't the way that gets handled, but okay. So we had to look into it. Well, it raised a rather interesting question, and that was, since they were using institute resources to do the vandalism, could we tell them to stop, or should we tell them to stop? They have a right to free speech, right?
No. Right to free speech is only in the United States. It is not worldwide.
It's here in Georgia that it was happening. And we said, well, he has a right to free speech, and not only am I to protect the rules, but I'm also there to protect the rights of the students. So I had to say, no, he's allowed to do that. And they said, well, how do you know what Wikipedia and how that works? I said, I happen to know one of the administrators, and this is what they said, and this is how it works, and they're allowed to do that. And what it came down to was we told the person, look, you can make all the edits you want. You just can't use institute equipment because it reflects poorly on our reputation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You feel free to go to a public library, use your own.
Vandalize from the library. Okay.
Yeah, use your own laptop, whatever. You just can't do it from our system.
Okay.
And but it was very interesting that the first thing they asked was, well, how do you know that's true? It says, because I went to a panel that explained how all this works.
This is the source.
And so it's amazing where this stuff actually goes and how helpful it is.
Yeah. Well, and did they finally stop?
Yes. What happened was we have a dean of students, and whenever there's a case like this, we take them to the dean of students. And so we bring the kid in. Oh, and by the way, what was funny is he actually went and looked up the article on how to do vandalism at Wikipedia. That's because we looked at the history. When he got into the dean of students, the dean of students looked at him and said, what did you do? And the kid goes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I knew it was wrong when I did it. I'm so sorry. And they made him send a letter of apology and do all that stuff. So, we got it all cleaned up very nicely.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic that a large portion of the vandalism on Wikipedia comes from schools. I go on Vandal Patrol every so often, and I go in and I look at the IP addresses of people that are vandalizing the articles, and often... And we have a way, we can click and say, where is this IP address coming from? What city is it coming from? What educational institution? What business? And often we'll click and it's Greenville School District. And so we have entire procedures in place to say, okay, Greenville, we know who's the IT director over there. And we'll fire off an email. And they can even say, okay, it not only came from our library, it came from Monitor 7 in the library, and we know who was using the monitor at that particular time, and they can go in and they can contact those students and or the teachers or in some cases the parents and get them to stop. So many people who vandalize the Wikipedia, you're not as anonymous as you think you may be. We've got more and more sophisticated methods, and then people say, oh well, I'll just come in through a proxy. Well, we got procedures. Right? I'll come in through a Tor node. It's an arms race, but we have people who deal with it.
Yeah. This might sound like a very strange question, but I was just wondering, so there obviously there's vandalism. Like one thing I saw was I logged on to Wikipedia once, and there was someone had vandalized. I was right after the opening weekend of 300. Someone had vandalized the page for Iran. So mm-hmm. it was something very simple. They just like added all caps, whatever. So I imagine that's the that's the standard vandalization process. Mm-hmm. But what do you do with people that have faked entire sources? So for example, the Discordianism page. I know for a fact that some of the article, well, they're very small articles, but some of the articles that are connected to Discordianism, the sources themselves are fake.
Yeah.
You can click on the website on the source, and there's a website, but the website itself is for a fake event or something that they got together.
Right.
So does anyone attempt to look at that, for sources that are fake themselves?
Oh yeah. It gets harder. It's a problem. Fortunately, it doesn't happen often because it takes a lot of effort to fake a source and do all those things. And someone may get away with it for a while, but eventually they're going to be found out. And then what we're going to do is we're going to look at their accountants and look at every single article they've ever edited. And then the cleanup process goes through. And we've had that happen with a couple editors that were going through either using fake sources or they were misrepresenting sources. They would take a source and then they would just cherry pick words from the source. So it would look like they were using a real source, a valid peer-reviewed source, and you would look and say, oh, look, the source really did say that. And so a cursory look would say, okay, it's correct. But then someone would raise a flag and say, wait a minute, go in and read that source in more detail and see, yes, those words are there, but it's on a page where it's discussing false rumors about this particular topic. But it requires someone to go and dig in and actually look at the sources. I was dealing with someone like that in the medieval history topic area, and it was bad from him because he was pushing a point of view, and he was often quoting good sources, not always. Sometimes he was quoting bad sources, and he would often quote sources in other languages, in French or in Latin, and it became more and more difficult to try and track it down. But what we did is we just made this massive list of articles that he'd ever edited in this topic area, and just had to go through one by one and just check. You know, someone who understood the topic area needed to go through and do cleanup, and it was painful, but bit by bit we got through it. There's no deadline. We took our time, and he's banned from ever editing in that topic area again. It takes time.
Will you talk about the bots? Because that's one of the things that I'm pretty fascinated by. Just I know there's like bots for vandalism mm-hmm. and that flag mm-hmm. articles for deletion. So how many bots are there and who creates Ooh. Them and kind of what are they? Because I just imagine, you know, it's just some code on a server somewhere.
So. Yeah. I'm not an expert on bots. Luke, I don't know if you know a lot about... Okay. People who have some geek cred will go in and they'll create some sort of a macro or utility that will go through usually on some sort of a timed process and sweep through either a subset of articles or in some cases the entire database. And they usually need to get approval for these bots. There's a whole process, again, in Wikipedia. You can probably go to, like, WP:bot or something. I'd have to Google it a little bit. I use bots for things like archiving my talk page. I have a bot that'll go through and say, oh, look, her talk page has gotten too long, time to edit it, and it moves threads, older threads, over to archive pages. Some bots will go through and they will cite sources, fix the citations for sources. Some bots will go through and check the URLs to make sure they're still active URLs, and if not, they'll flag it as a dead link. Yeah, if someone hasn't signed a post, then a bot will go through and add a sort of a fake signature for them saying this post was added by this IP address at this time. There's tons and tons of bots. I could probably give a whole talk on just all the different kinds of bots that there are. In terms of how to create them, I'm sure that there's documentation out there. However, I'm not an expert. Do you know anything about anyone else here know about bots that wants to talk about them? So. Sorry, just not one of my fields of expertise, sorry. Okay. Anything else? So, Luke, did I get it mostly right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's our handy audio.
That's the battery indicator? Okay, now that we're all awake. Okay.
That was the bot trying to come in and offer a comment, right? This guy was the sky.
So I was wondering whether you think there's some inherent limitations to having an all-volunteer encyclopedia. For example, the case you're talking about the person that had unusual views about medieval history, I happen to know a bit about that case because you might remember I wrote this decision on it, which is a follow-up of the Franco-Mongo case. Basically, he's a guy that liked to write about how the grandchildren of Genghis Khan had this secret alliance with the Crusaders to, sack the caliphate and the Holy Land and all of that. It's very interesting. But by topic banning him, and I'm just using this as part of a larger example, he lost access to the thing he was really enthusiastic about. And the problem with all of volunteer contributors is they're usually enthusiastic about something where they have specific points of view. And with fans of different programs, pop culture, that's not a problem because they're not particularly controversial. And that's why Wikipedia is probably, that's its core competence, I think, is pop culture. But at some point, I think there's sort of a limit to what amateurism can accomplish. Controversial topics, I think they just burn out editors very quickly if they're sane, and if they're not, you don't really want them to continue writing about them. And I just wanted to know if you had any thoughts about whether there needs to be any kind of end game or solution for getting rid of the problems of a strictly amateur encyclopedia.
That's a big question. Yeah, I mean, I've had this discussion with other people, and there's other projects that are non-Wikipedia projects that have tried to start up, Citizendium and others, which are trying to create a Wikipedia-like database with the either people that are vetted for the kinds of knowledge base that they have available, or I think in like Google Knoll tried to do something differently, and I think Wikipedia has just kind of got a magic mix. It's not perfect, definitely. It has a lot of flaws, absolutely. On theory, theoretically, there's no way that it could possibly work, and yet it does. It's Now, people could say, well, you know, it would be nice if everybody was paid, but I don't think we would have the breadth of coverage that we do. There was a recent article, I can't remember who wrote it. It was somebody involved with, I think, was it Science Magazine, the senior editor, who was like comparing Wikipedia to Encyclopedia Britannica and looking at the breadth of coverage and seeing which kinds of topics that were valid topics that the Britannica just didn't cover, and often it was like women's topics that weren't being covered as well in the Britannica, that Wikipedia was covering really, really well. Other topics relating to cooking or relating to clothing and fashion, which the Britannica covered, but Wikipedia did a much better job at. I think it's a byproduct of people writing about what they're interested in and that volunteer thing, but it's the good with the bad. It's like free speech in the United States. We have free speech, and overall it's a good thing, but it means that some people are going to say really stupid things, or they're going to be saying very incendiary things, but I wouldn't think that we should get rid of it because of that. We just need to take the good with the bad. It's freedom. It's freedom. It's that. You can argue with me. Go ahead.
I'm a mental health professional and a training clinical psychologist, and I had a question about basically some of the psychological tests that have been added for Wikipedia, mm-hmm. and I was wondering how would one go about engaging in that discussion of having some of that stuff taken down, because it does trivialize and it does interfere with what we do when we do psychological testing.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand the question. So there's certain tests that are given to people to analyze their mental health status or their IQ or whatnot, mm-hmm. and some of those tests are being published on Wikipedia, and because the public is seeing the test before they take the test, it's invalidating the results of the test. Okay. On Wikipedia, just to make sure we're talking about the same thing, on Wikipedia I don't think publishes the entire test, because that would sort of get into what Wikipedia is not. It's not an indiscriminate collection of information, but there might be Wikisource or other wiki projects that are providing more of the tests. And I ran into that because I had to go through some sort of test, and I went to Wikipedia to see if I could find out about the test before I took the test. It's a good question, but it's not just Wikipedia; it's web wide. Even if somebody mm-hmm. didn't get it on Wikipedia, they could Google it in some way, and the information might be out there. And how do you take some of these things off the internet? Some people would argue it's like trying to take pee out of a swimming pool. You know, once it's there, it's kind of there, and it's in so many different places. I was talking to a psychologist about this a couple months ago about the testing thing, and he said that it's kind of up to the psychologist to just keep things as secure as possible and not to be careful what they're publishing or where they're publishing it. It's a hard problem. I can't think of an easy answer for it. Does anyone else have a thought?
But considering some of those things are on Wikipedia, and mm-hmm. before I came up, I checked.
Mm-hmm.
Since you do have access to some mm-hmm. of those things that are or have already been.
Right. Well, copyright is the first thing that comes to mind. You could go in and say this. If you go on Wikipedia and say this information is there, it's a violation of copyright, it's going to get blanked pretty fast.
Okay.
So that's probably where I would start if it's something that's under copyright.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be very helpful because most of them are.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You can just call, I can just repeat the question, yeah. Has any country ever banned Wikipedia, and who would deal with that? Luke, you might be better suited to answer that. No. I'm not sure. The first country that comes to mind is China. You know, that China might have banned some, because they've banned other things on the internet, what they call the great firewall of China, I think they were calling it. And if it happened on Wikipedia, I don't know if we would deal with it. There's probably people that would be working to get around it through various proxies and whatnot. But it's not like we'd go and legally battle it, to my knowledge. It's possible. I mean, Wikipedia was definitely kind of stretching its political muscles earlier this year with the great SOPA blackout, if anyone remembers that. And Wikipedia was one of several different sites that were saying this is bad legislation and we're going to protest it by just shutting down Wikipedia for a day. That shutdown was a community decision. It wasn't something that the Wikimedia Foundation did, but it was actively debated by the community, and a vote took place, and it was decided to do it, and what the banner would say and what the text would be on the banner. In the case of China, I mean, the community could debate it. I'm not sure what the community could do, though. The Wikimedia Foundation might have something to do, but I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah. Wait, what am I looking at here?
Talk where it's been made the SOPA blackout.
Oh, there was a talk on the SOPA blackout earlier today.
By me?
By you. Do you want to talk about it?
No. Well, we covered it pretty extensively.
Thirty seconds, go.
I don't know what exactly to say that hadn't been said a couple of hours before, especially since the audio will be available. But, one of the biggest outrages put against the Wikipedia support of the blackout was that what about all the poor college students that won't be able to do their homework now because of Wikipedia? And as I said then, I'll say now, if you were using your homework, you were using Wikipedia as the main source of your homework, then you've probably got problems already. You know, use a proper source, proper book for your homework. Wikipedia, fine, use it as a guide, an initial start, but not for actually doing it. And the concerns that people were, the pro-SOPA people were putting for Wikipedia supporting it were not really well-founded in that respect.
Any other questions? Okay. So it's 20 to 4. I'll say thank you all for coming. Anyone who's interested in very specific questions on articles, I'll continue here and we'll pull up those articles and I'll show you what it's like from an administrator point of view, how this sort of stuff looks. But everyone else, thank you for coming and enjoy the rest of your con. Have a good trip back wherever you're going.